I don't know if anybody, how often you use council websites. I'm sure not that often, but I'll tell you a bit about how we collect feedback. You'll see the smiley through to frowny faces. We have those on our website on each page, and that is a product called GovMetrics. Lots of councils use it. And it tells us what, in theory, it tells us what people like about the website and what they don't like. And we usually get around 1,200 ratings, but you can just go and rate, so you could constantly hit the frown button on a page. You don't have to leave a comment. What we do ask is that you kind of tell us, are you happy or unhappy about the information on the page? Are you happy or unhappy about the website as a whole? Or is it about a council service that you're happy or unhappy about? But as we found out with this, it was also used as our key performance indicators until late last year. And it worked okay. We had a reasonable, about 65% satisfaction rating. And then last January, it massively dipped. And I was always really, after the first few months of deploying this, I was really nervous about it being a key performance indicator, because actually we were getting lots and lots of comments about council services and council decisions and policies, and not about website experience, which is what I'm interested in. So that was a bit frustrating. And it dipped last January. I was hauled to committee in the April justify why it's gone down. It's the new website. Well, no, it wasn't the new website. The report of it coincided with the launch of the new site. But actually, it was the 3 months of our old site. But it wasn't about our website and its performance. It was about the fact that the council had decided to switch off streetlights between midnight and 6 a.m. Across parts of the county, which people were not very happy about, or telling us about on GovMetrics that they weren't. And also a hike in charges for young people's travel pass that caused a lot of complaints. So they really started to skew our performance indicators. So we, after speaking to some councillors and explaining the situation, we said, well, that's not the best way of doing that. But actually, that's really useful feedback that we pass on to the service. We get, like I said, we get about 1,200 responses a month, or ratings a month, and out of those ratings, we get about 100 to 150 comments left. And anything we can do with the website, we have a weekly meeting to go through what's come through. We're monitoring it daily. And we can see if there are any issues that we need to address pretty quickly. So using that, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had a flurry of comments throughout the day about some tabs on our website not working. And with the devices that we've got that aren't necessarily as up to date, we've got our own personal devices that are pretty up to date, but we couldn't replicate the problem. And then using another product I'll tell you about in a minute, we were able to identify what the problem was, and we were able to rectify it within the day. So it's quite powerful. So trying to get feedback specifically about the website, we introduced a website exit survey. So when you go on to kent.gov.uk, up pops a quick survey you can choose to take part or not. And we get about 1,000 responses to that each month. And that to begin with, that really did give us a much more website experience-related feedback. The top performers are school term dates, so we completely changed how we presented that information. And it's also a busy part of the site, so it's going to get more comments generally, but that's popular. Finding a recycling centre or tip. We had a bit of an issue last year when we were redeveloping the site, where we didn't manage to convince the waste service to call their pages tips, like find a tip. But we knew through search results and customer feedback that people use the term tip. And in fact, one of our tips or recycling centres in the area I live is one of the top search results. And it's not the household waste recycling centre that we call it. people are calling it tips. So we had a bit of a, so feedback was really useful to prove to that service that we need to be able to call things what people call them rather than council jargon. So we get about 1,000 responses each month, and our poorest performing areas, and also on GovMetrics as well, is the section I'm about to talk about, which is about reporting potholes. We always get negative feedback from that. That's our poorest performing part of the site. And so we've been working with the service to change that. I'll tell you about that in a sec. And finally, we have, in terms of collecting customer feedback, we have something called Hotjar running on our site. And it's a really brilliant product. It's free. Well, the version we use is free. And it shows us the impact of content, design, and functionality changes on the site. And it produces heat maps, and it videos people's clicks, swipes, taps. And it's and you can drill down by user type as well, so a device type. So you can, if you want to look at who's using an iPhone 6 and what their experience is, you can, which is what we had to do, because when we had that issue with some of our tabs not working, and we couldn't replicate that problem on the website, sort of through our devices, we had to look on Hotjar, and we could narrow it down to sort of iPhone 6S users specifically. So we were able to see the videos. We could see, oh, yeah, it doesn't work for them, does it? Oh, I wonder why that is. Let's get the developers on checking code there. So we were able to fix that in within the day, which is exactly how we should be responding where we can. So we've collected all this information. But this is how we are using it, so our pothole journey. So I'm going to take you on this pothole journey. I'm sure, did people know what potholes are? Do you know the term pothole? I mean, it's a council term, but somebody said to me, do you know? Yeah, oh good, yeah, a few. I didn't want to make an assumption there. So the moment when you're reporting a pothole online, we have more people calling us than we do reporting online. So we have about 4,500 court reports each month for potholes, not just potholes, but other overgrown verges, flooding, broken streetlights, things like that. And we have an online system that captures all of that. That's been around for the past 4 years. It's seen a number of iterations. But we still only get around about 42% of people who are reporting a problem, that only 42% are using the pothole form. There might be more using it and then having to call us because they can't use it, and I'll show you why. It's number one, the bottom of our, in terms of customer satisfaction on the website. And it causes repeats or additional contacts. So people might be calling us, might be going online, and they give up because it's too difficult. They can't use the map, and they have to ring us. So we're kind of effectively wasting money there. Customer problems are regularly escalated. And this is part of it is to do with service delivery and, you know, how quickly we're responding to these faults. But part of our role there should be about managing people's expectations and saying, being upfront, how quickly we generally deal with these types of issues that people bother to report to us. So that then instigates a whole other process, because if an MP gets a letter from a member of the public, or our councillor does, it has this whole process that probably costs a lot of money, council money, to manage. And we want to nip that in the bud, really. But having painted that grim picture, the service have learned a huge amount about the way they produce or manage this service online. They're very clear about the type of information that they need in order to most effectively fix those problems. What they don't want to do is get a system where they've got to manually enter extra details into their kind of workforce allocation system. So the online form integrates directly with that back office system. So they know there, but the balance is in the favour of business objectives. at the expense of customer experience. So we just want to tip that balance. We know that we can't make it so simple for customers because the service won't be getting the information they need, and it will then mean that the extra expenses are incurred, and probably a lot more, you know, a highways engineer running up and down a road trying to find a pothole is a lot more expensive for us as a council than somebody taking a call. So we have to manage that. So how we started? We started with our discover phase. We used customer feedback, as I said, through GovMetrics, Hotjar, the website exit survey. We did some user testing. We did some online user testing, but we also got a third-party usability agency in to do some face-to-face, real quality, in-depth face-to-face testing as well. And that also helped us articulate back to the service that it isn't just us telling you that there are problems, and customers, an expert web agency who are brilliant at usability, they also are telling you the same things. And we also wanted to learn a bit more about the process of, that from the agency as well. We had workshops with the service to understand their business needs, to understand the process from the moment a customer reports a pothole to the pothole being filled. What does that process look like? What stages in that process mean that are causing customer contact or experience issues? And then we researched other council websites to see, well, what Berkshire doing. They're pretty good on digital, what they're doing. So, we did our research around that. So this is, most people start from one of three places: Google, at their local district council website, or somewhere on kent.gov. So they get to the first page, this one, and they can click on that tab, the report it tab, and then they get to the page which says, this is the sort of thing that you need to, you can report to us. And then you can go and click the report, the problem. And then we get into this IT built application, which is called report a fault, not a problem. We've had arguments with the service about the terminology. We haven't won with this bit yet. And also they also wanted people to be able to see, before you report a problem, you might want to know that when we're resurfacing that road anyway, or when we're going to cut the grass or shrubs or whatever it might be. So they kind of thought that would be really useful to kind of manage people's expectations, but you'll see it doesn't quite. And then when you get to that page, then you go and you click on your report fault. How many times have you had to tell us that you want to report something? You've already told us three times on our site. And then you've got a choice of the first part of that is to locate a fault, and then you can choose to locate it on a map or find an address. Most people choose to locate it on a map, not because it's simpler, because it really isn't. They choose it because it's the first thing they see. So, and that's all from our observation. It's not just me saying. So, good for the next one. So this is, if you choose to report it, locate it on a map, you get your map of pretty much the southeast. And people kind of ignore this box there, control box, where you could actually put your postcode or the road name. They go straight into trying to work out how to span that map and drill down into a specific road. And so that starts to, already as we're starting to cause a few problems. At this point, half people give up. So a third of people give up anyway once they've clicked into the locating the previous screen, but then half of the people, once they've played about here, they've given up. So this is, if you type in, and this is a screenshot from the usability testing we did with, or this company did for us with somebody face to face. So this is one of her screenshots. So she looked at Dartford. She lives in Dartford, so she wanted to have a look to start reporting there. She'd gone through her local district council, like Dartford Borough Council website first, couldn't find it there. It took her probably about 5 minutes to get to this point anyway. And when she did, she was presented with that. Now there's a control box on the right there. And all those things, those triangles, are faults that have already been reported in that area. So it looks quite overwhelming, and you just think, how am I going to get through that? She did manage to eventually. And then these are two different, slightly different screens. So even though we're asking for the location of the fault, we're already starting to ask, oh, it might be about streetlights. If it is, kind of tell us, because there's a street, each streetlight has a column number and we want to know that. Oh, it might be about salt bin. So if it is, then tell us, and there's a number on there. Or it could be a KCC-owned tree. I guess there must be numbers on there. And also underneath there, there's another control box under there saying, oh, here's some useful links. Well, not really useful links if you're trying to report a pothole. So that's really confusing. And then on the right-hand side, you've got, she managed to find her location up there, but she's got this kind of control there that springs on the screen, so she found that really confusing. There's a mandatory box here, which then we ask you to tell us about whereabouts on the pavement or road this fault is. So she didn't realise it was mandatory, so she had to go back. She couldn't go forward because it was mandatory. So she had to write something there. And then you get to this page. So once she finally, and this took her about 13 minutes to get to this point. Now, I personally would have cried and rung up the council or just given up in a big huff. But obviously she was used to testing, so we made her sit there and go through it. And so you get here, the screen that you tell us what the fault is. Even though we've kind of asked you what the fault is on the previous page, we're asking you now properly to tell us. So we have, you choose from a drop-down list of over 30 different categories, and then she chose potholes, and then there are subcategories there. So she's chosen pothole on the road. And then here, we're asking, this is not a mandatory field, but actually we're asking for some really, really vital information that the highways team need in order to go and decide, is it an urgent problem that we need to get a crew out there in 2 hours, or is it something that can be part of planned works? Is it something that we need to get to in the next month? So it's not a mandatory field. And also you've got this long description, where is it? Sorry, here, that people just don't read instructions generally until they've tried it, and then they have to go back and read instructions. So actually, all this crucial information that we need as a council, we're not making it mandatory, and we make it quite difficult for... We're hoping that people read that and tell us. And then they go to the next page, which is contact details page. It seems like a lot of contact details they want to know about from us. Everything's mandatory apart from the email address. But the email address, and the reason for that is that if we're not getting the quality information that we need from customers, we need to ring them up in order for us to be able to process which team that goes to and what priority to assign it. So we need people's daytime phone numbers. They used to get emails, and people would, it might take them a week to respond, if they even bothered to respond, because they might have thought, I've already told you there's a problem. I've spent enough time. It takes about 14 minutes on average to go through this process. So they probably felt that they've told you enough. We've found that in the testing that people, there's a real issue around their tolerance for giving us personal information, and especially in light of news about how safe or not your personal information is online. So what we found out, we played this all back to the service, who are pretty pretty good. They're really on board with trying to solve this, but obviously it's a really bleak picture that we gave them. And actually the guy that is kind of our service lead, we invited him to watch the user testing up in London, and he was behind the kind of the glass saying, no, they don't need to do that, they just need to do that. Why aren't they pressing that button there? Why don't they use it this way? That's how it's supposed to be used. And he didn't get that actually it's obviously not intuitive enough, and that's a problem. So that really, I think that was really powerful that he went to that and really got to see people's experience of it firsthand. Like I said, before they even, 29% of people stop before they proceed to the location. And out of those that did manage to get to their location, they only half completed the process. So, you know, we've wasted all this time. People are willing to do this, but we've made it so difficult, not on purpose, I add, but we've inadvertently made it really difficult for them. And part of that is because we haven't understood people's tolerance, people's thought process. We've just built it from somebody who thought, well, this is how I want people to interact with us. We had comments saying that the map is too difficult and the process is repetitious. So after defining the problem, well, we define the problems, that's all self-explanatory, and we got the service to agree, and we handled this all very sensitively because they've put an awful lot of their personal effort into putting the service online in the beginning, lots of iterations, and they really do take customer feedback seriously, but it's obviously quite hard to hear that all that you've been responsible for still isn't working very well for people. So we did have to handle that sensitively, but they're very on board. So we got them to agree for us to redesign the user journey from scratch. And that's sort of kind of our design and development stage. So you can report all sorts of problems to people, to the council around highways, but we focused on three particular journeys. That's potholes, floods, and bollards. Bollards is actually very simple it's a very simple process. Potholes and floods are more difficult because we need to know a lot more information, and people have to use a map, which from our observations, people find it just generally very difficult to use maps. And then produce an interactive prototype. Unfortunately, I can't show you the interactive, well, I could, but I didn't feel confident enough to do this in a presentation environment, but we do have it available online. So we started with the first iteration, and so we tried to looking at the problems that people had told us, we started with the problem rather than the location. We thought we'd, because actually with the location, because the service were really keen to tell users that other people might have already reported this problem, and also it might be part of our scheduled maintenance of roads and verges and whatever, so you might not even need to bother reporting. But because that was showing everything, that was too distracting, so we thought if you're starting with the problem type, you only get the problems that related to your problem, you see what I mean? So we did that. The advice from the usability company was that people naturally quite happy to search, so have a search box there rather than kind of like a drop-down box of fault types. And so we implemented that, and we put in some top search problems. So the next slide takes you to how serious the pothole is. Now, on the old, or on the current version, because it's still live, we just rely on a box and some instructions to tell people to tell us all this information. But on here, we thought maybe a visual guide would be more useful. So next to the average pair of feet, you can size your pothole in that blue box relative to your pair of feet. And then you use a slider to show us how deep the pothole is relative to a football or a golf ball. And then you put... you can place the pothole on the part of the road that it's on. Once I was on holiday when this situation was released, and when I got back, I immediately noticed that the cars were facing the wrong direction. And I noticed it, but it just confused me, and I didn't know why it confused me until I realised, oh, the wrong way around. And I had to think about how did I drive around the corner to work out that that's actually how the wrong way. And actually, people found that difficult as well. The next slide then takes you to, or next step is, where is the problem? And again, using the sort of search theme, you can type in your postcode or the road name, and then it pops the map where that would be. Already we loaded some dummy data in there, so the red markers are there to show you that there are either already potholes that have been reported. And then we introduce the idea of kind of a ticket to show you that what you've told us, give us some more information. You know, is it the pothole near a post box or landmark that might help the highways engineer find it? And then if people want to upload a photo, some people do. Around about 7% of people reporting currently like to upload a photo to help us, which is good. They can. And then that takes you to the final page. Or the sort of confirmation page, where we still have to ask, the service is still adamant that they need to know your name and your data and phone number, just in case they don't get the right information that they need. Then we ask, would you like to be kept updated? And you can give us your phone number or email address. And then when you're ready to report the problem, then you get your confirmation and some information about what happens next and how long typically it takes us to repair a problem. So that's kind of our, that, when we tested it, it takes around about 4 minutes to complete this, which is a lot better than 14 minutes. So we implemented Hotjar on this iteration, well, all of the iterations actually, so we could observe people's behaviour as well as get them to fill in an online questionnaire. And that was really useful. We asked people to rate their experience out of a possible 5 being very easy. 3.9, so not too bad. Would have liked it to have been in the 4s, but it wasn't. And 7 people had some comments, and 12 people had comments. 7 people thought it was very clear. And around about 79% of people were happy with the amount of information we asked them to give us. So we thought, well, that's pretty good. But what people told us about this, they felt that with iteration one, that we had some comments about the imagery being too cartoonish or gimmicky. We had some issues with, but people, when we observed the videos, people were typing in report a pothole in Maidstone, whereas we were kind of expecting them to just type pothole or flood or whatever one we were testing, but they didn't. They were typing the question, so that kind of threw us. They found resizing the pothole next to the pair of feet difficult. They didn't know. Some people didn't know how to resize it, and if they were using an iPad, they found that really difficult. The slider didn't work for some people to measure the depth. The image showing the cars was confusing. It wasn't just me. And actually, during that live test for the iteration one, we changed it. The minute I saw it, I said to my designer, Alan, that's confusing. Can you change that? So he did. People, unsurprisingly, were confused with the map and about where to click, pin their location on the map, especially that if they typed in them in a postcode and hit return, they assumed that you knew the location, but we still needed them to pin that marker on the map. Somebody said, can you reword the "would you like to be kept informed?" Because that implies that there's a yes or no to that question. We've just asked them to fill in a box with their phone number or email. And then we had a few positive people said, brilliant, it should go nationwide. That's above our designer's chair at the moment. It was really illuminating. So taking on board all those comments, made some more changes to the design and to the functionality. excuse me. So to avoid the problem with people typing in a question pretty much in the search box, we added the e.g. pothole, flood, whatever, just to give people an idea. And we added some more top search for results on there. We changed, so rather than have a blue box next to the pair of feet, we changed it to a pothole splat, I don't know what to call it. We fixed some problems with the slider that were replicating in certain browsers, and obviously changed the direction of the cars so that wasn't as confusing. Once people had got the hang of placing the pothole, they found it really straightforward, but it took them a while. And we just simplified some of the instructions around that as well. We made some changes to the ticket on there. We also changed the pin markers, the colour of pin markers, because you had a blue pin marker for when you actually placed your location, and the red pins were for stuff already reported to us. And so that iteration, we had ease of use went up again to 4.2 out of 5, so it's on the right way. Half the testers said, yep, the process is really clear, but half had still some issues around that. And everybody, surprisingly, was happy with the amount of information we asked for, which I never believe. It was true, but I can't believe that. And the next iteration proved that I shouldn't believe 100% of people were always going to be happy with it, because they never are. So what we changed on for iteration three, we changed it so that we learned, because we were also doing a flood, user testing for floods, where we had images showing what's a small flood, what's a medium flood, and large flood, because when I was talking to the service, I didn't know how would you class a medium flood? So we thought imagery would help people have an idea of that. So we did that with potholes. We also changed, instead of having the slider, because that still kept, we still got some issues, had some issues reported back to us about that. So we, again, you could select from the depth of it from that imagery. And then where on the road is on the same screen. We removed the splat because that seemed to be causing some problems. And we chose to have a drop down. And if you drop down, where it says choose, you drop down to, and then you can just select which side of the road it is, or if it's in the middle. We thought that might be then easier to use. And we removed the cars because they just seemed to confuse everybody anyway. And what we introduced as well was automatic scrolling for each of this, because we observed through Hotjar that people weren't scrolling down, and they couldn't progress any further. So as soon as you select the depth of the pothole, then it automatically scrolls there. If you haven't done those and try to report it, they flash up red as well, that seemed to help people. With the map, we were still struggling with the map because some people were still having problems with it. But we made some more changes to the ticket to try and to make that a bit clearer. And then made again with automatic scrolling and kind of alerting people to if they haven't filled in mandatory fields, they can't go any further. So we implemented that. So the feedback on iteration three, it increased another 0.2, so good. We had a lot fewer comments, because when people were commenting, we had lots of people, they would tell us loads of things, whereas the kind of comments I'll tell you about in a sec, there were a lot fewer different things. Only 40% were happy with the amount of information we asked for, and 40% of people thought they wanted to tell us more about it. And I think it's because in the box where you've got your, when you're locating on a map, we thought the box there wasn't explicit enough in telling you, making you realise that you might have to give us more information, or you could give us more information. So for our final iteration, because we're going to go out to beta test for this, we've made some changes to the first page. So we've added some images in terms of when you're starting to select the type of problem. Because if you're selecting a drainage, or there's a drainage issue, I think they're called culverts. I wouldn't know what they were called. So having an image was helping people. And that we found that out through the flooding user journeys. So it takes you again to you've seen this one before. That's the same. Because people then weren't in the third iteration, they didn't, because the splat, pothole splat wasn't there, they didn't connect the drop down button to the road, so they didn't know what they were doing. So we've introduced, you can use either really, you can select it through the drop down, or you can go and move it. And we've got a swipe arrow to show you that actually you can move that, and it's supposed to be moved to the side of the road or the place in the road. And then you go to your problem again, you start typing there, and then once you, so I live near there, and when I was looking at that, I then assumed, well, that's, I know where it is, then what do I need to do? And so we've told people to click on the map to go and locate their problem, and then we've changed the ticket so that we kind of split that up because people were then saying we won't be able to give you enough feedback. We had that box there in the middle. We kind of separated that process out and presented it a different way so that we think it's clearer in terms of the steps of extra information you might want to provide to us. And then finally, your confirmation report. We still can't get rid of the mandatory phone number. Hopefully, when this goes live, it will prove to the service that they're getting the right information and they don't need to tell people that, to give people their, or get phone numbers from people. And then that's it. that's our iterations. I'll quickly tell you, because I haven't got much time, on what we learned. As hopefully I've showed you, customer feedback is really powerful evidence for change. It can be, you can paint quite a grim picture, but if you handle it sensitively, they can't argue with the facts. They can't argue with the customer what customers are telling you. Allow the time to test. It does take quite a lot of time in terms of setting up the online test and the tasks, and then more importantly, analysing all of that and making sure I'm really hot on my team to tell me, if you've told me what the problems are and your recommendations, I want to link the two together. I don't want to see problems and then recommendations that I can't correlate. The mix of feedback we get, a mix of feedback and observation is much more powerful than one or the other. So definitely get something like Hotjar. And then I'd say if you've never done user testing before, start cheap and start free. 5 to 8 people is enough. And get your designers and developers watching those videos and get them involved in that project and taking ownership for these problems. And then know when to start releasing code, because we could iterate forever. We drew the line at 4. So there, I've got to close now. I didn't think I'd be able to talk for 50 minutes about potholes, but obviously managed to. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.